Psalm 119, and as I said last time, the great theme of the 119th Psalm is the Word of God, and so we have different words for the Scriptures used through the Psalm: the law of the Lord, His testimonies, His commandments, His statutes, His righteous judgments, and each one having a particular emphasis upon what the Word of God is. So we're going to read the second part of the psalm together this evening, entitled Beth, so from the verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And the words "taking heed" there are the same word that's translated "keep" in the first part of the psalm, by keeping according to thy word, by taking heed thereto according to thy word, putting a hedge around. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And we will end there, knowing that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. As we've seen then, the title of this section of this psalm is the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Beth. The word Beth, as well as being a letter, the word Beth means house. And so you'll be familiar with that title, Bethel, house of the Lord, Bethlehem, house of bread. And so this Hebrew letter signifies a house. And if you have the symbol in your Bible, if you use your imagination a little bit, it looks something like a house. One preacher said that this section, the second section of Psalm 119, is about making our heart a home for the Word of God. Making our heart a home for the Word of God. And we'll choose out a few lessons that we can learn from this particular section of the psalm. First of all, the Christian home is transformed by the Word of God. And so as we think of these opening words, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And given that the Hebrew letter does signify a home, we're immediately brought to think of a family living in a home. And how would the children in that home have their way cleansed? And so this theme is introduced to us right at the outset of this section of the psalm, that the Christian home, the home of believers, is transformed, and it is to be transformed through the Word of God. And surely then there is this recognition that as children are born into the homes of believers, those children have been conceived in sin. And so we rightly identify the blessing that our covenant children have, and yet they have been conceived in sin. Their way must be cleansed just as much as the way of those around us who have no interest in the things of grace. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? As I mentioned last time, there's some discussion as to who is the author of Psalm 119. If it is David, we can think of him in his childhood, a young man that had his way cleansed. And certainly as we think of his psalms, they speak, don't they, of a young man who took attention, who paid attention, paid heed to the word of God. I mentioned also some suggest Daniel as the author of this psalm, and Daniel and the three friends as they found themselves in Babylon, and they saw this contamination around them, as they saw that kings meet, and this great purpose that they had in their heart that they would not be defiled, they took heed to the word of God. We think of Joseph, a young man who was cleansed by taking heed according to the Lord's word. In great contrast, we think of Absalom, a young man whose way was not cleansed as he ignored the word of the Lord. And so the Christian home is indeed to be transformed by the word of God, and we'll come to some more of that in a moment or two. Then secondly, the Lord is our home. The Lord is our dwelling place. And so if we take the home here not so much to be just a family within a physical structure, but the home in a more spiritual sense, what is a home? It's a place to dwell. And the child of God then has in the Lord a house. The child of God has in the Lord a dwelling place. And our brother Dr. John Douglas, in his commentary in Psalm 119, he emphasizes that in this particular section of the psalm, there's great emphasis laid upon the little preposition in Hebrew for our word in. And out of these eight verses in this section, seven of them begin with this Hebrew preposition in. And that's actually how they all begin, with the exception of one, with the letter Beth. So they all begin with the letter Beth, but all of them bar one, it's Beth in this particular preposition for in. And so we can't have that in our English translation, but I'll try to show it to you in verse 9, where it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" It's something like this in the Hebrew: in what way shall a young man cleanse his way? In verse 10, "In or with my whole heart have I sought thee, in my whole heart." Verse 11, "In my heart thy word have I hid." And so the word order is different in Hebrew. Verse 12 is the exception, where it begins, "Blessed Barak." In verse 13 then, "With my lips," in our English translation, "in my lips have I declared all thy judgments." In verse 14, "In the way of thy testimonies have I rejoiced." Verse 15, "In thy precepts I will meditate." And verse 16, "In thy statutes I delight." And now, why is there such an emphasis on this word in? Dr. Douglas suggested that it is emphasizing to us that we have been brought within. We're within the house of God. We're part of the family of God. And so then, within, our lives are being transformed in this ongoing process. Praise God, we have been brought in. And so then, thirdly, to enter God's house, to enter this home, to enter God's house of salvation, there has to be cleansing. And so, if we take the house then here to be the spiritual house of God, and that, of course, was pictured in the Old Testament with the tabernacle and later the temple. How would the priest go into the holy place to engage in his ministry? There had to be that washing. He had to come by the laver. How could the high priest on the Day of Atonement and go right in beyond the veil? He had to go in with the blood. And so the only way in, as it were, the only entrance was through cleansing. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And without that shedding of blood, there is no communion with God. Without the shedding of blood, there's no pardon. Without the shedding of blood, there's no communion in the house. And so our very access into this spiritual house and our communion within it is an account of the work of Christ, as it is set forth then in the Word of God. Wherewithal, in what way shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. God's word is set forth then, the work of Christ. I want to see then, fourthly, I think it is, the life of the Christian is one of ongoing cleansing. For these words, taking heed thereunto according to thy word, that is, being cleansed by taking heed thereunto according to thy word, are elaborated on in the New Testament. As remember, in Ephesians chapter 5, it speaks there of the home, the husband and the wife, and their relationship one with another, being a picture of Christ's love for his church. And the husband then in the home, he stands as the representative of Jesus Christ. Just as Christ loves the bride, the church, so the husband is to love his wife. Ephesians 5:25. And it goes on then to speak of how Christ not only loved the church and gave himself for it, but then in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Christ sanctifies his church, he cleanses his church by the word. And so surely it's being drawn from these words. How? In what way shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there unto according to thy word. There's this cleansing through the word. And so in the life of the Christian, there is this ongoing sanctification. So yes, we have had that judicial cleansing. We are declared right. We are declared clean, legally. But there's this ongoing cleansing. Our daily cleansing, becoming more and more like the Lord, the forgiveness of that ongoing sin, it is through the Word. And so our daily cleansing is through the Word. Our progression in holiness, it's through the Word. Our assurance, it's through the Word. Again, remember in the upper room, the Lord said there to the disciples in John 15, verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken. How were those men cleansed? Through the word. And so, in the life of the Christian, there is this need for the laver, if we're to use that type of language. We need this ongoing cleansing. It's not that we need to be saved all over again, or we need to be justified again. We've never lost our justification, but there is this need of our ongoing sanctification, that daily washing. In the life of the Christian, there is this ongoing cleansing. I want to suggest to you next, then, the strength of the Christian is one of ongoing cleansing. The strength of the Christian is one of ongoing cleansing. If you think again of this term, as it is with us, a phrase, young man, it's actually one word in the Hebrew. And that Hebrew word translated for us, young man, comes from a Hebrew verb that means to shake or to overcome. And the idea is that the young man is one that has strength to shake others, one that has strength to overcome. And so we expect that a young man would be at the peak or coming to the peak of his physical strength. Now, what is very significant is that this particular verb, to shake, is used of Samson before his imprisonment. So remember, after the hair was cut in Judges 16:20, he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And so if you think of that word, shake myself, it is related to this term, young man. I will shake myself. I will show that I have strength as a young man. But he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He did not know that the Lord's strength was no longer there to be his. And so he was saying, I will go out as a young man. I will go out in strength. But it was not to be. His compromise had stolen away the youthfulness. His compromise had stolen away the vitality. And in his case, how was it to be restored? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. There was to be a return to the word of God that was neglected. And of course, in his case, he did. Remember, in his death, he sought the Lord, which is how verse 10 then begins. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Yes, he had wandered from the Lord's commandments at the end of verse 10. But there's this return. With my whole heart have I sought thee. There was a cleansing. The Lord came upon him once again. He was unable to shake himself, as it were, as his arms were placed in the pillars those weeks later. Remember in Isaiah 40, it talks there about even the youths will faint, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So there could be someone that has physical youthfulness, but it's not reflected in any spiritual vitality. How can even then, the old men as it were in the work of God, how can they have the strength of the young man? By taking heed according to the Lord's word. We need that strengthening, the strength of the Christian. And then I want to see with you the blessing of memory and meditation. The blessing of memory and meditation. We all know well, I'm sure, the words of verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That word hid is also the word for hoarding in the Old Testament. I don't know if you've seen any of those programs about hoarders where someone has a house that's full of junk, but they treasure it, and the junk is completely taken over that home. And of course, that's a very negative way in which that word is to be used. Our hearts are to be taken over, not with junk, but with Scripture. And so just as the hoarder allows junk to take over, the Word of God is to, as it were, so occupy our hearts that it has taken dominance. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. We're to fill our minds with the Bible. The one that has filled the house with junk, well, there's not room for anything that's useful, perhaps. We're to fill our minds with that which is useful, to exclude the useless. I'm not sure if it's still there, but in the Sunday school there used to be a poster. I'm not sure who made it. Sin will keep me from this book, or this book will keep me from sin. Either sin will keep me from this book, or this book will keep me from sin. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. In the verse 13, it says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And again, I think there is something here that suggests the idea of memory, not solely, but one of the very effective ways of increasing our memory of a particular subject is to talk about it. And so for someone that is studying a particular issue, if they talk to their fellow students about it, ideas that they've been reading about are being reinforced in their mind. they will come more readily to their mind in coming times. And so, with my lips have I declared all thy judgments. As the Lord's people talk about the things of the Lord, we are retaining them. And then in verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will meditate, the Hebrew word is the idea, I will converse with myself. A while ago I heard about a lady who was talking on her phone when she was in the shop, but her phone was nowhere to be seen. She had an earpiece in, and obviously there must have been a speaker or something on that earpiece, so she was talking away and the phone was nowhere in sight. And a fellow customer came up to her and said, "Don't worry about it, dear. I talk to myself as well." Well, we are to talk to ourselves, not in insanity, but we are to talk to ourselves about the Word of God. I will meditate in thy precepts. I will commune, as it were, with my own heart, with the things of the Lord. And therein, there is this idea of memorizing. Remember how in Luke 2, twice over, we read of Mary, how she meditated. So following the visit of the shepherds and them relaying what the angel and the angelic host had shown them, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I mentioned that those words back in verse 9, take heed, it can also be translated, keep. Mary kept all these things. She meditated upon the precepts, verse 15. And then 12 years later, when the Lord was in the temple at Jerusalem and Mary and Joseph had been searching, and they hadn't been able to find Jesus, and they found him then in the temple. We read of how Mary kept all these sayings, what Jesus said to him on that occasion, in her heart. And so, we think of how even in the human body, if we are to benefit from what we eat, our body's going to have to digest it. And so then, the Word of God, it's to be digested. I will meditate. I will chew upon the Lord's precepts. I want to see then that we need the Lord to teach us in His Word. Or we need the Lord to teach us His Word. In verse 12, we have something of a prayer request. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me. And the scriptures do show the importance of not only the Word, but the Word and the Spirit. So we think, for example, of John chapter 3, the new birth. There is there both the water and the Word. There is the Spirit and the Word. And so the Spirit testifies, the Spirit removes the veil, and that must happen in the new birth. There must be that life given and the Word of God open to the sinner. But it's the need of the believer that we would be taught. The Spirit has been given to that end, to testify of Christ. Teach me thy statutes. And then I want to say finally that the Word of God brings joy. The Word of God brings joy. Verse 14 says, I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. And perhaps someone that has received a legacy or some windfall, they rejoice in this financial improvement, as it were. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much in all riches. The child of God rejoices more in the treasures in the book than the treasures that the earth could give us. I've rejoiced. And then verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. James Montgomery Boyce said there's a difference between rejoice in verse 14 and delight in verse 16. Rejoice is the idea of a great festive joyfulness. I've rejoiced in the way, but delight then is more a settled pleasure. As we come to various truths in Scripture, as we see them, we see something fresh, maybe we see something we've never seen before. I've rejoiced as one at a festival, as one at a feast, but then in an ongoing way in my Christian life, I delight myself. That rejoicing, it opens up this way to continual delight in the life of the Christian. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How are our homes to be transformed? How is our church to be transformed? It will be through the word of the Lord. And I was thinking about this psalm, or this part of the psalm, in relation to our Lord Jesus, as we think of the question as it stands in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. In the sense of cleansing from sin, our Lord needed no such cleansing. And yet, as a young man, even in the temple there at the age of 12, we see his great determination to take heed according to the word of the Lord. And don't the words that follow so clearly speak of him? With his whole heart he sought the Lord. He never wandered from the Lord's commandments. The word of the Lord was hid in his heart. He never sinned against the Lord. He was taught. With his lips he declared all the judgments of the Lord's mouth. Never spake man like this man. He rejoiced like none other. He meditated like none other. He delighted like none other. He never forgot the Lord's word. Our Lord then is the great example. And may we be enabled then, even through the Lord's word, to be more like our blessed Lord. May the scriptures be indeed hid within our hearts. We trust the Lord will take his word and bless it too.